Amen. Amen. Today, did you come into church weary? Like it's been a really long week. Did you come into church tired? Wondering if what you need to keep going on would be supplied. And if you're honest, you wouldn't say it out loud in your Bible study, but sometimes you just want to throw in the towel. It's like, I want to quit. I'm done. I'm tired. I'm exhausted. I'm depleted. And as Christians, it's easy for us to not have those people to go to share those truths with. Sometimes we feel like there's nowhere we can go. And you probably have some hard questions you wouldn't bring up to everybody. Like, when is God providing this thing that I need? Why isn't he stepping in? And is he walking with me through this season right now? This morning, we're going to be in Isaiah chapter 41, verses 8 through 10, in a message I've entitled, God is with you. God is with you. So if you're new to the Bible, or it's been some time, open your Bible to the middle. I don't want to assume everybody knows where Isaiah's at. Isaiah 41. That's where we'll be this morning. And the text of Scripture says this, starting in verse 8. But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I've chosen, the offspring of Abraham, my friend, you whom I took from the ends of the earth and called from its farthest corner, saying to you, you are my servant. I've chosen you. I haven't cut you off. So fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. And I'll uphold you with my righteous right hand. Let's pray. God, this morning I pray that you would show us the truths in your word. Lord, all the distractions that come to our mind, the things we're going to do after service, the things that have transpired this morning. God, whatever we're going through right now, Lord, would you help us to put that aside so we can focus on truth. And that truth would set us free. That truth would align us. That truth would guide us. And that truth would lead us to you. God, I pray we see you are with us today as we open your word. We love you and praise in your name. Amen. So Isaiah chapter 41 is where we are. And if you were to study this passage, you would see in verse 2, there is an unknown, unnamed conqueror that's coming to conquer Israel. And there's debate about who this is, but it's most likely King Cyrus of Persia. And Israel has gone through this before. They have been conquered and ruled over by different nations. And now there's another nation coming to conquer them. Look at verse 2, what it says. Who stirred up one from the east, whose victory meets us at every step? He gives up nations before him so that he tramples kings underfoot. He makes them like dust with his sword, like driven stubble with his bow. And because of what's happening, because Israel is on the verge of being conquered, there's fear. I mean, if you were Israel, wouldn't you have fear as well? You've gotten used to being under rule of a certain nation, and now there's another one that's coming to conquer you, and God's prophet Isaiah is telling them this. You would have fear as well. But in steps the Lord who gives a comforting word. Look back at verse 4. The Lord says, who has performed and done this, calling the generations from the beginning? It's I, the Lord, the first and the last. I am He. God's saying, yeah, there's a conqueror coming. And yeah, he's powerful. But even before him, I was there. I have power. And in fact, I don't just have some power, I have all power. He has all power, no matter who it is, no matter who's ruling, no matter what government is leading, God's there. He's with them. And he will not abandon them. He will not let them be left on their own. God is sovereign and powerful and loving. He says, I am he. And into this, within our context, we step into verses 8 through 10. The first thing I want you to see this morning is that God is with you through his faithfulness. God is with you through his faithfulness, and you can find this in verse 8. So back in verse 8, it says, "You are my servant. You are my servant. I have chosen you. I have not cast you off." As a people who had been exiled under captivity and being conquered again, God reminds Israel, God is not done with them. Even when they've been faithless, God doesn't give up being faithful. God is always consistent in every way. And because of his faithfulness, he calls them to be servants. He calls them to be servants, which is present tense. He's chosen them. And you may sit and think to yourself, why has God chosen them? Why Israel? Well, it's not because of Israel. It's what God would do with Israel. God would use them. And God would ultimately use Israel to bring Jesus in the world, into this world 2,000 years ago. Jesus came. He lived the perfect life. He died on the cross for your sins. He rose victoriously from the grave. And God gives you access to him through what Christ did. And Christ came through Israel. And God, he wasn't just only thinking about Jesus, but God was thinking of teaching his people and even us today, as the New Testament says. By looking back to the Old Testament, we see things God is teaching us about himself and his faithfulness. So even in their faithfulness, God never abandons them. Now, if you're familiar with the story of Job in the Old Testament, you would know that he at one point lost everything. He lost everything, even to the point where his own wife couldn't stand him. If you were to read chapter 19 in Job, you would see in verse 17 through 27 that Job begins to have some questions. Job knows something's wrong, and he also doesn't have support around him. His wife is not supporting him. His friends don't support him. And all of them think he's done some kind of sin and he's not fessing up to the sin that he did. So they're accusing him. And here's what Job says in verse 17 of Job 19. He says, "My breath is strange to my wife, and I am a stench to the children of my own mother. Even young children despise me. When I rise, they talk against me. All my intimate friends abhor me, and those whom I have loved turned against me. My bones stick to my teeth and to my flesh, and I've escaped by the skin of my teeth. Have mercy on me, God. Have mercy on me, O you, my friend, for the hand of God has touched me. Why do you, like God, pursue me? Why are you not satisfied with my flesh?" And what Job is doing is he's crying out to God here. Job sees God, and he says, "God, you're the one punishing me." This is what Job is perceiving. Verse 23. "Oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they were inscribed in the book. Oh, that with an iron pen and lead that they were engraved in a rock forever." But listen, even though Job has perspective that's not perfectly right, his hope doesn't wane in God. It doesn't change. Look at verse 25. "For I know my Redeemer, who is God. He lives, and at last he'll stand upon the earth." Job knew that one day God would come to his rescue. Verse 26, "And after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold him and not another. My heart faints within me." Like Job, who suffered severely, like him, we can have hope. Like him, we can see that God is with us. And if you're a believer in the room today, I guarantee, without a doubt, there are lies you've told yourself about God. There are lies we all tell ourselves about God. That you can out-sin his grace. That you have done so much wrong, you never get it right, and God one day is just going to drop you. But listen to what Jesus says in John chapter 10, verse 28. He says, "I will give them eternal life," that's forever, "and they'll never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." Nothing and no one can snatch you. He's with you. He's faithful in salvation, and he's faithful to preserve you. He's faithful to keep you. He's not going to let you go. And if you're a believer, your salvation is secure forever, forever. And I remember when I was 19 years old and I started to take the Bible seriously, this was the major thing I questioned, because I looked at my friends who had gone off to college and I thought, at camp they looked like they were Christians. At church they looked like they were Christians. And now that they've gone off to college, I see what they say, I see what they post, and I'm like, what's going on there? But if you're in Christ, even if you stray, the Lord will convict you and bring you back to Him. But here's the thing we all got to ask ourselves today is, are we in Christ? Are we in Christ? Is that conviction there? There's a difference, and I tell our students this all the time, there's a difference between being a Christian and being churched. We can know all the answers to all the questions, but it doesn't mean we have conviction or joy or life in Christ. There's a difference there. Here's another question you probably have told yourself. Have you ever said, I have to earn God's salvation? It's not enough. I know it's a free gift. I've heard that in church, but it's not enough, and I feel like I have to earn it. Well, remember Ephesians 2:8 says this, for by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God. The truth is, none of us can be good enough. That's why Jesus came. Jesus was perfect. Jesus lived the sinless life. Jesus died in your place for your sins. You don't have to atone for your sins on your own. Christ did that for you. Because even if you were a good moral person, even if you've done more good than bad, you still have sin. That can't be atoned for by yourself. That's why Christ came, to atone and forgive you of your sin. Christ has offered this. Have you ever said, I'll never stop falling to a certain sin in my life? And right now, you know what that is. There's a certain pastor in our area who fell to the sin of adultery, and he was 70 years old. Do we not think lust still dwells in the hearts of people all of their days? And it's not just that. But there's so many other sins. Jealousy, driving around this area in DFW, wanting what other people have. Gossip. We may start with it being a prayer request, but then all of a sudden it goes over here and now it's become gossip. There is sin within us because our sinful nature will try to fight against the Spirit. And the Lord desires this closeness, and He will help you overcome the sin in your life. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you that is common to man. You hear that? No temptation has overtaken you that's common to man. God is faithful. God is faithful. And He'll not let you be tempted beyond your own ability. But with temptation, He'll also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. So no matter how many times you've committed that sin, those sins, Christ is faithful. He can help you. He doesn't want to push you towards sin. He wants you to be strengthened through the trial, to go back to Him, to see that He is good, He is worthy, and that He's worthy in spending time with. I mean, it's very much like a weight room. If you spend time in the weight room, you should get stronger. If you spend time with God, you should be less tempted to those sins. Spend time with God. He will strengthen you. He will give you a way of escape so you can endure it. Again, God is with you through faithfulness. Second thing this morning I want us to see is that God is with you through comforting and strengthening you. Look back at verses 9 through 10 in our passage. It says, you whom I took from the ends of the earth, he's speaking about Israel, and called from its farthest corners, saying to you, fear not, for I'm with you. Don't be dismayed, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you, and I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So we know what's going on here in Isaiah 41. There's a conquering nation coming to rule over them. And God tells them, don't be afraid, don't dismay. Why? Why? because he says, I took you, Israel, from the ends of the earth, from the farthest corner. God has Israel. And in verse 8, he mentions someone that he calls a friend, Abraham. Abraham was called out of Ur, and God was faithful to Abraham to provide. And he doesn't forget his promises. God held true to the covenant he made with Abraham. God holds true to Jacob, who is renamed Israel, that God would be there for Israel, and he wouldn't let them drift or fall. He would be faithful. He would call them back. And what God calls, he will never uncall. If God has saved you, you can never be unsaved. You're in his hand, and nothing can snatch you. This is a word of comfort to Israel and a word of comfort to us today. In addition, you don't have to fear or be dismayed, because look what God says in verse 10. At the end of verse 10, he says, I'll uphold you with my righteous right hand. He will uphold you. He will lift you up. And not only will he strengthen you, but look before that. It says, fear not. If you see that there, it says, fear not, for I am with you. God will strengthen you. God will lift you. But he's with you. He is in this moment right now in the service with you. When you go home, he will be with you. When you work with a coworker you don't like, he will be with you. God is with you. And how often does God say that throughout the Bible? Think about Joshua. Moses had led the people of Israel out of Egypt, and Joshua becomes the new leader. And how many times does God tell Joshua, I am with you. Be strong and courageous. He says in Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you? Be strong, be courageous. Don't be frightened. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And then he does this with David. Psalm 23, David is suffering and he has fears, and he writes these words down in verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And then Jesus, he rises from the grave, Matthew 28, and he commissions his disciples. Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all I've commanded you, and I will be with you. I'll be with you. God's promise from beginning to end is the same. God is with you in all moments, in all seasons, with Israel, never giving up. He's with you. And in the midst of fear, God tells us he's with us, and he will both comfort and strengthen us. Hear what Psalm 46:1 says. God is our refuge, a strength, a very help in time of trouble. He's with you. He comforts you, and he strengthens you. And Isaiah tells the people of Israel in Isaiah 41 that in the midst of their fear, he'll uphold them. He will strengthen them with his righteous right hand. And those words mean what you think they mean. The Lord works to make a believer stronger. He works to help show them he is with them when they need help. He works to show them that he'll hold them up. He will support them in times of difficulty. And I want to pause here in this moment because I've been teaching a lot about Israel, a lot about how he helps, and a lot about how he is there. But I want to ask you, do you believe that to be true? Do you believe that when you have got, when you've heard the worst news and you're isolated by yourself, whether it's anger or fear or whatever you're feeling in that moment, that he's with you? When you're driving in the car and you are just losing your mind and yelling, you remember he's with you. In each and every circumstance, do you believe that to be true? In that moment, the Lord is your ever-present help in your time of need. I think there's times where we need to, and that, in fact, this is going to be our application point at the end of the message. We need to pray and ask God to remind us that he's with us in that very moment. The Lord is there. And I think far too often, we don't want to be disrespectful to God, but I think far too often we're so concerned with being polite that we're not honest. God knows your anger. God knows you're broken and upset or confused. He knows those things already. Don't withhold that from telling God, God, I am angry at this situation. Lord, I got questions. I don't understand. Help me know you're here. And he'll show you that. He'll show himself to be faithful. One of the hardest seasons of my life was I'd been married to Molly for about 6 months, and I lost my job. And so I started to interview and figure out, okay, how are we going to make ends meet? What's next? And for those of y'all that are in the workforce or were in the workforce at some time, you know these feelings. You start to look and question yourself if you have value. You start to wonder, what was my purpose in life? What was I made for? You have questions about things, and it's hard to eat, it's hard to laugh, it's hard to enjoy life. And there was a couple of verses that the Lord put on my heart, and I hope whether you've been through this, you're going through it right now, or going to go through this, you can look back to these verses and remind you that God wants you to seek him out because he's there. Matthew 7, 7 through 8 says, ask, it will be given to you. Seek, and you'll find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For whoever asks, receives, and the one who seeks, finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. When we started to pray these verses daily, and in fact, I put a little sticky note on our door, so every time I left the house, I would see it, those verses, and I would be reminded to pray. And when we started to pray those verses, not only did joy start to rise, there was hope on the horizon, but God gave us clarity of mind. He helped us see and know and live confidently into what God was calling us into. And that led us, back in 2016, to move to Fort Worth, where I attended seminary. And ever since that, God kept lining up the opportunities, kept lining up provision. But what God was waiting on was for me to see he was there. He's waiting on me to see that he's available. He's waiting on me to see and know that he's good. He was waiting. He wanted me to seek him. And like I said earlier, through this, man, the Lord's going to strengthen you. Through these situations and these trials, God's going to make you stronger and more reliant, and you'll desire to spend more time with him. But don't stop when times get good. That's when we quit. Things are going great. God's blessing me. Oh, I got to just work harder. Trust myself more than I trust him. Don't stop going back to him. He's the one who makes you stronger. Don't stop forgetting, or don't start forgetting that he is there to help you in your time of need. Don't forget he's your refuge. He's your strength. He's there in your times of need. And then remember, he'll uphold you. He'll support you. And that's how God got us through that season, is complete, utter reliance on him and him alone. God got us through. We knew he was with us. So again, what I want you to see is that God is with you through comforting and strengthening you. Now, like I mentioned earlier, the point of application today has to do with reminding yourself through prayer that God's with you. And asking God, remind me that you're with me. One thing I've noticed lately with Emmett is he always will ask me, Dad, can I go with you to the truck, outside, to water the lawn? Why does he do that? Well, because he finds a peace in being with me. He wants to learn from me. He enjoys it. And the same is true with God. We should want to go with him. God, bring me with you. I know you're with me. God, I want to go with you. God, I want to go where you're going. God, I want to walk in step with you. And so here's that point of application. Ask God to be with you in your time of prayer. He's omnipresent. He is there everywhere, but many times we forget. He is with you, with us in those moments. Ask him to make you aware of that nearness that he gives you. Ask him to strengthen you and comfort you throughout your day. And this is what I want us to take into the week. Now, at this time, we're going to enter into a time of response. And here's what I want to say. If you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, today you can make that decision. All of the words of Scripture are true, but you can only fully experience them through a relationship with Jesus. And here's how you do that. It's by believing the gospel. The gospel is this, that Jesus lived a perfect life. He died on the cross for your sin, and he rose victoriously from the grave, conquering sin and death. You cannot do that on your own. Coming to church won't do that for you. Disciplines and habits in your life won't do that for you. Status and notoriety and position won't do that for you. Only Christ can save you and set you free of sin. So today, if you've never received Jesus as Lord and Savior, I want to invite you to respond to the gospel. If you're watching with us online, you can text the word Lakeland to the number at the bottom of the screen. And if you're here in person, we'll have some ministers at the bottom of the steps, and we'd love to pray with you. And we'd love to connect you with someone to talk about what it means to have a walk with Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, thank you so much for your word, reminding us you are with us. No matter what we face, no matter what we're going through in life, God, you're there. Point us back to all the truths so we can walk in your truth. God, move in this room. We love you and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with us?
Come to the altar, the Father.
Church, thank you for being here this morning. We're grateful for you. We love you. And if you haven't gotten to know us today, would you find me, Pastor Ross, our staff that's here? We'd love to make a connection with you and start to build that relationship so that you might be a part of a local church and that you may know the one who is worthy. All right, I'm going to turn things over to Pastor Ross, and he'll close us out.
Well, thank you for being here this morning. If there's a decision that you made or an opportunity that you've had this week to share the gospel or just anything that we can do during throughout the week, you can text us at this number. We'd be happy to follow up with you and walk alongside you with whatever it may be. Let me give you two examples that we've heard of this week of people that have had an opportunity to share the gospel and give you ways you can pray for those people. As you might have noticed, summer is not here.